Muslims in many countries across the world mark the end of the fasting month of Ramadan with Eid al-Fitr prayers. And Israeli occupation forces kill more than 120 Palestinians in one day as the death toll of the genocide in Gaza nears 33,500.
Well, welcome to the studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is Mies. Thanks for joining us.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says that Israel made a mistake by attacking Iran's embassy in Damascus, adding that the regime must be and will be punished for its acts of aggression. Ayatollah Sayyid Khamenei made the remarks in an address after leading the congressional Eid al-Fitr prayers in Tehran. Ayatollah Khamenei also condemned Western countries for supporting Israel, saying they not only failed to prevent the regime from committing the crimes, they also even emboldened it to commit more crimes. Iran's leader also congratulated Iranians and Muslims across the world on Eid al-Fitr. Uriah Ali Salam, editor-in-chief for Basira Press, joined us from Tehran with his take on the Iran's leader's remarks about the recent Israeli attack on the country's diplomatic mission in Syria.
Obviously, this is a declaration in line with international norms that an embassy is property and considered the sovereign soil of whichever country, of any country. This is a standard across the world. So this is essentially an Israeli attack on Iranian soil. And so it is absolutely necessary that this aggressive regime be punished for it. And this is a bloodthirsty regime. And the media in the West may have the script flipped and they try to convince people that the Islamic Republic of Iran is the one that's crazy, irrational, and bloodthirsty. But actually, Iran is very restrained, moral, and is not out to seek bloodshed. It just knows that to stop the bloodshedders, the ones who are covering the world with blood, that force needs to be met with force. There's no way to go about this in a Gandhi way. Even he himself was not instrumental to the end of British colonialism in India. So the sensible thing to do is to have a military parity with the aggressor to be able to basically put an end to their aggression, not out of their humanity, but out of their fear, because the only language they understand is force. And this goes to show that this is the only leader, world leader in the world that bows to no one but God and fears no one but God. And that is a very, very amicable trait to have in a world filled with rulers who are really devil worshippers and servants of the devil himself.
Muslims in many countries around the world, including West Asia, are celebrating Eid al-Fitr, which marks the end of the holy month of Ramadan. Millions of people attended congressional aid prayers in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, Iraq, Syria, Egypt, Lebanon, the United Arab Emirates, and Yemen in the morning of the festive occasion. Prayers and sermons also held in cities, towns, and villages across Iran. In occupied Palestine, nearly 100,000 worshippers performed the prayers at Al-Aqsa Mosque and occupied Al-Quds, despite restrictive measures by the Israeli regime. This year's Eid is being celebrated under the shadow of Israel's genocidal war in the Gaza Strip. Muslims in some other countries will mark the Eid with mass prayers on Thursday. Eid al-Fitr is a traditional festive occasion in Turkey, but the people are marking the day with pain over the ongoing Israeli genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. Worshippers criticize the government for its late decision to impose restrictions on exporting goods to Israel, arguing that the response is not enough since the regime has massacred tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians. Russian Saglam has the details from Istanbul.
People in Turkey have marked Eid al-Fitr across the country with massive congregational prayers in mosques. While extending greetings to each other on this occasion, many people expressed that their celebrations remained incomplete and overshadowed by the ongoing genocide in Gaza, calling on Muslim nations to unite and act against the Israeli regime.
We feel helpless and sad to see a genocide taking place in a Muslim country and not being able to intervene. I hope this aggression ends soon. We feel bad to celebrate here today while massacres happen somewhere else.
The Muslim community, with Turkey taking the lead, should have initiated action against Israel and enforced an embargo against it. Despite this action coming late, I totally support it.
Turkey declared a ban on exports on a range of products to Israel starting April 9. The Trade Ministry said that the decision will remain in place until Israel declares a ceasefire immediately and allows adequate and uninterrupted flow of humanitarian aid into Gaza. But the people here say the decision came too late, arguing that their country could have done more in the face of the Israeli bloodshed of the Palestinians.
This decision was made too late, taking 6 months to act, by which time thousands had already lost their lives. Furthermore, while claiming to send aid, the reality is that it's being directed toward Israel rather than the Palestinians in Gaza.
The Ministry of Trade's decision was belated. Working in the trade sector, I am aware of the significant volume of goods exported from here to Israel on a daily basis. I hope they completely and permanently cease trade relations.
The deadly aggression against Gaza has now entered its seventh month. And despite the widespread support of Turkish public for the government to fully sever economic and political ties with Israel, the government remains hesitant in taking a bold step. Despite the recent decision made by their government, Turkish citizens remain deeply angered by the inadequate response over the past 6 months, a period in which over 33,000 civilians lost their lives in Gaza. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Pakistanis have dedicated this year's aid festivities to the oppressed people of Gaza as a show of solidarity. The day was commemorated with special prayers for an end to Israel's atrocities and a call for ceasefire. The correspondent brings us more from the Pakistani capital, Islamabad.
Celebrations of Eid al-Fitr commenced across Pakistan following the sighting of the new moon of the lunar calendar on Tuesday evening, marking the end of the holy month of Ramadan. In a heartfelt show of solidarity, Pakistanis dedicated this year's Eid festivities to the oppressed people of Gaza while offering special prayers.
The Muslims of Gaza are calling for help. May God help those who are in desperate situations due to the atrocities being committed by Israeli forces. We should not forget the plight of innocent Palestinians on this festive occasion of Eid.
As a part of the celebrations, Muslims who fasted for a month congregated in mosques early in the morning for Eid prayers. These prayers included special supplications for the people of Gaza, pleading for an end to their suffering and restoration of peace.
The Palestinians have been enduring immense suffering for too long, and it's our duty as Muslims to stand up in solidarity with them. By remembering them on Eid, we renew our commitment to advocating for their rights and working for an end to Israel's genocidal war in Gaza.
This sentiment is resonating across social media platforms and trending. Besides sending Eid greetings to their loved ones, Pakistanis took to social media platforms to announce their intention to observe Eid with simplicity. Many choose modest celebrations, redirecting their resources to assisting those in need rather than indulging in overspending.
Eid typically brings us great joy with prayers, feasting and cherished moments with friends and family. However, this year, amidst our festivities, our hearts are heavy, thinking of our suffering Palestinian brothers and sisters. So me and my family decided to keep our celebration simple and dedicate a part of our day in remembering and praying for them.
In their Eid messages, Pakistan's top leadership, including the President and the Prime Minister, expressed solidarity with the oppressed nation and called on the international community to help bring an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and provide humanitarian assistance to the Palestinians.
Remembering the plight of Palestinian people during the festive season of Eid underscores the unwavering commitment of the Pakistanis to expose Israel's genocidal war campaign to the international community and call for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Nasik Azmi, Islamabad.
People in Afghanistan, like the rest of Muslims around the globe, mark Eid al-Fitr at the end of the holy month of Ramadan. Afghans enjoy this festive occasion by holding different rituals. Abdullah Mirzada brings us more in this report.
People are heading to mosques and other religious places to attend the congregational Eid al-Fitr prayer that marks the end of the holy month of Ramadan. This is a significant religious celebration that is also observed by Muslims worldwide. On this auspicious day, Afghans, like fellow Muslims in other countries, begin with a collective prayer that resembles unity.
The tradition our Prophet announced for Eid is doing ablution, wearing neat clothes and perfume, and then going to the closest mosque to attend the congregational prayers and ask for God's blessings.
This is the day God pays us the reward of fasting in Ramadan, also a day for unity and brotherhood for us. That's why on this day all Muslims are happy.
Eid al-Fitr is a time of joy, gratitude and community service, and it is traditional for people to go and visit relatives after the prayer. But it is also the Islamic tradition not to forget the needy. That is why on this day Zakat al-Fitr or Fitrana, a charitable donation in the form of food or money, is given to the poor by heads of the families.
It's a day of happiness for Muslims, also a day to reunite and make bonds. People on this day visit their relatives. They have meals together and sometimes go to a small picnic.
On Eid, Zakat al-Fitr must be handed to the poor and needy. It is obligatory for Muslims to pay this prior to attending the congregational prayers.
After a month of prayer, devotion and self-control during Ramadan, Muslims celebrate the accomplishment of their sacred duties on Eid al-Fitr, a day that marks the end of Ramadan.
Muslims consider Eid al-Fitr as a divine blessing that arrives after a month of fasting from dawn to dusk. Eid al-Fitr, or the holiday of breaking the fast, is among major Islamic events celebrated across the Islamic world. Abdullah Mirzada, Kabul.
Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have performed the Eid al-Fitr prayers despite continued Israeli strikes and shelling. Some of the Gaza residents have told us about this auspicious day and how they celebrated despite all the hardships.
The early hour of Eid al-Fitr prayed on the rubble of this mosque and in the street. The Israeli occupation deprived Palestinians from praying in their mosques.
During Eid last year, there was no war. Today we are entering the seventh month of the war. El Faro Mosque last year was still here. But this year, it has been targeted 2 or 3 weeks before the start of Ramadan.
Despite the pain and massacres, we will show our happiness in these difficult circumstances. We don't care about the war. We will leave Eid like other Muslim countries despite the pain and siege. We will leave this Eid and show our happiness to the displaced people and families of martyrs and detainees.
This day for me is heartbreaking compared to last Eid. I look at my children and I feel heartbroken. When I sit with them and I start to cry, feeling sad for the days that have passed, I remember last Eid and I remember this Eid. Last Eid, I was surrounded by my children, looking at them with joy. But today, I am injured, unable to move or go anywhere.
People in Iraq have joined millions of Muslims all across the globe in celebrating Eid al-Fitr. Our correspondent Muslim Salem has talked to a number of the Iraqis who, while celebrating the occasion, expressed their solidarity with the Palestinians in Gaza.
We congratulate the whole Islamic nation on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr, especially our brothers in Gaza. We wish them victory against the Zionist regime.
We congratulate the people in Iraq, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and our resistance brothers in Palestine, Lebanon, and Yemen. We truly believe that our real Eid will be victory against all evil and the return of Imam Mahdi, inshallah.
Words cannot express our feelings about what's going on with our Palestinian brothers. We truly don't know whether to condole them or congratulate them in this Eid. We hope victory is close. We also hope we can pray in Al-Quds soon.
On this blessed occasion, we express our solidarity with our brothers, the people of Palestine. We support them in their fight for freedom until final victory against the evil regime and its supporters.
Congratulations to the Iraqi people, to the Islamic nation, and to our resistance brothers in Gaza. We hope to see them achieve victory against Zionist occupiers.
In the devastated Gaza Strip, the Israeli regime is continuing with its deadly attacks, killing more innocent women and children. In the latest developments, Israeli airstrikes targeted a civilian vehicle in the Al-Shati refugee camp, north of the war-ridden territory, killing several Palestinians. Three sons of Hamas political bureau chief, Ismail Haniyeh, and some of their children were also among those killed. Israeli airstrikes also struck the Al-Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza. The Palestinian Health Ministry says 122 civilians have been killed and 56 injured across the Sea Strip in a matter of 24 hours. Since the start of the U.S.-Israeli onslaught on Gaza, nearly 33,500 people have been killed, among them 14,500 children and 9,500 women. Recognition of Palestine as a state is gaining momentum internationally. The Spanish Prime Minister says Israeli attacks in Gaza are overturning decades of humanitarian law.
More than 33,000 dead in Gaza. Every day, 1 million innocent civilians are hungry. 500,000 suffer from anxiety or depression. And every day, ladies and gentlemen, 10 children lose a leg, an arm, and often amputated without anesthesia.
Pedro Sanchez was addressing the Spanish Parliament where he called for Israeli attacks, where he called Israeli attacks a global threat. Sanchez stressed that the recognition of a Palestinian state would be in the interests of the European Union. He added that helping Palestine is impossible without recognizing its existence first. Similar calls have been made in the UK and Australia. The British Foreign Secretary David Cameron recently said that recognizing a Palestinian state, including at the UN, would make a two-state solution irreversible. The Australian Foreign Minister has also confirmed that as the only way to resolve the conflict between Palestinians and the Israeli regime.
We are now 30 years on from the Oslo Accords. 30 years on from the Accords that put Palestinian statehood at the end of a process. And the failure of this approach by all parties over decades, as well as the Netanyahu government's refusal to even engage on the question of a Palestinian state, have caused widespread frustration. So the international community is now considering the question of Palestinian statehood as a way of building momentum towards a two-state solution.
Penny Wong made the remarks in her speech at the Australian National University. In the meantime, the UN Security Council has referred the Palestinian application for full membership at the world body to the relevant committee that is expected to make a decision about Palestine's status this month. Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movements and Israeli forces continue to exchange fire as tensions remain high over the war in Gaza. Israeli warplanes have launched airstrikes on several villages in southern Lebanon. In response, Hezbollah has carried out retaliatory attacks against Israeli targets. Our correspondent Mariam Saleh has the details.
By the Israelis, there were several instances of shelling near the towns of Ait Arun and Ait Ashab in Farkila also, and Adaisi as well. We saw a lot of these falling on the outskirts of the villages and the towns. We also saw yesterday a big extent of the damage that was done on some towns, especially Adaisi and Farkila, where the center of the town was almost completely demolished, whether it is the shops or the houses and the residential areas in those towns. Of course, Hezbollah launched several significant operations, although we know from the fact that there are sirens that were sounding. We know from the media that there were sirens sounding, especially in Kiryat Shmona. And even the activation of the Iron Dome system and the fact that there were some of those rockets from the Iron Dome system that were blown in the air. It's not clear whether they were able to intercept any rockets or not.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
Donald Trump's campaign has said it has raised $50.5 million at a fundraising event in Florida. A staggering sum as the former president's political operation scrambles to close its big financial gap with President Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. Former President Donald Trump's campaign said it has raised $50.5 million at a Saturday 6th of April event in Florida, marking a massive haul as his campaign looks to catch up to the Biden campaign's recent fundraising efforts and significant cash advantage. The record-breaking sum that the campaign reported raising at a Palm Beach, Florida fundraising dinner on Saturday, 6th of April, far surpasses the amount brought in by a star-studded fundraiser for the Biden campaign last month, as the GOP touted the event as an indicator of the party's unity behind former President Donald Trump. In a joint statement, the Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Whatley and co-chair Laura Trump said the success of Saturday's event is proving what we already know. Americans are fed up with Biden's record of failure, from the open southern border and sky-high inflation to the migrant crime crisis that has made everyone less safe. The funds raised at Saturday's fundraiser are expected to be split between the Trump campaign, the Republican National Committee, state Republican parties, and the Save America PAC, which helps pay for the former president's legal bills. The reported influx comes as Trump's fundraising efforts have been steadily increasing since November, as his path to the nomination has become clearer. But it's fallen short of the Biden campaign and the Democratic Party's fundraising efforts as the two men prepare to face off in the autumn. The Biden campaign said on Saturday, 6th of April, that the president raised over $90 million in March, coming $25 million above what Trump brought in during the period. Joe Biden had ramped up his campaign effort during the month, traveling to battleground states following his State of the Union address. And a private New York City fundraiser during March with former presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton brought in more than $26 million in a single night, according to Biden's campaign. But the Trump campaign touted Saturday night's figures as outpacing the Democrats' efforts. It took three Democratic presidents to raise $25 million and one president to raise over $50 million, Donald J. Trump, campaign spokesperson Daniel Alvarez said. Heading into the night, Donald Trump himself trumpeted the expected fundraising influx, calling it the biggest night in fundraising ever, while noting that it would eclipse the recent Biden fundraising efforts. The Palm Beach, Florida dinner, which was held at the home of investor John Paulson, featured remarks from the former President Donald Trump, who highlighted the need to win back the White House and pledged to make the country bigger, better, and stronger than ever before, according to senior campaign officials. The event also included remarks from North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum and entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy. CNN Cable News Network has also covered the same story. Donald Trump's campaign said it has raised $50.5 million at a Saturday 6th of April fundraiser in Florida, a staggering sum as the former president's political operation scrambles to close its big financial gap with President Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. The haul announced by the campaign and top officials with the Republican National Committee far eclipses the $26 million that Joe Biden reportedly collected recently at a star-studded gathering in New York City that featured former Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. The Trump total from the inaugural leadership dinner at the Palm Beach, Florida, home of billionaire investor John Paulson, sets a record for a single fundraising event. It's clearer than ever that we have the message, the operation, and the money to propel President Trump to victory on 5th of November, Trump campaign senior advisors Chris LaCivita and Susie Wiles said in a statement. Donald Trump delivered a traditional campaign speech to wealthy donors at the fundraising event, highlighting core issues that he wants to focus on in his second term in office: extending his 2017 tax cuts, securing the southern border with Mexico, and ending Biden's electric vehicle mandates. The closed-door dinner hosted at the home of billionaire investor John Paulson signaled that some of the GOP's biggest donors are rallying behind Donald Trump as the general election showdown with Joe Biden swings into gear. Trump, who sat between Paulson and former First Lady Melania Trump, spoke from the head table for roughly 45 minutes. President Trump spoke on the need to win back the White House so we can turn our country around, focusing on key issues including unleashing energy production, securing our southern border with Mexico, reducing inflation, extending the Trump tax cuts, and eliminating Joe Biden's insane electric vehicle mandate. The Biden campaign criticized Donald Trump for the high-dollar fundraiser, saying he's not fighting for ordinary Americans. Donald Trump spent his entire presidency lining the pockets of the wealthy, tax avoiders like himself, at the expense of the middle class, Biden campaign spokeswoman Sarafina Chitika said in a statement. The American people deserve a president that fights for the Main Street, not Wall Street. An array of wealthy GOP figures were billed as event co-chairs, including hedge fund billionaire Robert Mercer, oil tycoon Harold Hamm, hotelier and space entrepreneur Robert Bigelow, and casino mogul Steve Wynn. The price tag for the fundraiser ranged from $250,000 per person for those serving on the host committee to $824,000 per person to serve as a chairman. Perks for those contributing at the top level included dinner seating at Donald Trump's table. But Donald Trump has lots of ground to make up in the fundraising race. Joe Biden and the Democratic Party on Saturday announced raising more than $90 million in March, and entering April with some $192 million in available cash in their war chest. The Trump campaign and the Republican National Committee announced raising a combined $65.6 million in March and said they closed the month with $93.1 million in cash on hand. The Palm Beach, Florida fundraiser collected money for the Trump 47 Committee, a joint fundraising operation that includes Trump's campaign, the Republican National Committee, and state party committees. It also benefited a leadership PAC that has underwritten Donald Trump's personal legal bills and is part of the joint fundraising agreement.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in glorification and remembrance of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We start by sending our congratulatory messages and mubaraki messages to our 12th and living Imam Al-Hujjah, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Allah ma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. And to each and every one of you, as we wish all of you and our Imam a heartfelt Eid Mubarak, inshaAllah. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we all gather here today that our fasts and our amal and our hajat and all of our diligence in this month is accepted by Him, inshaAllah. That we have left this holy month as better human beings than we had entered it, inshaAllah. And of course, we pray for all those who are going through difficulties throughout the world. And our first and most important dua, of course, is that Allah Azza wa Jal hasten the return of our living Imam, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. It seems as though I begin this Eid sermon in the same way, by describing really mixed emotions on this day. There's a sense of ultimate gratitude that we should have. You know, gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He had allowed us to participate in this month of mercy. That we were His guests for this entire period, and not just guests, special guests, because we're always the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this month we were given a special invitation, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that invitation. And we are grateful that He gave us the strength to fulfill the obligations that He set forth for us, because that in itself is a form of barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there's tremendous gratefulness that we should be feeling. And of course, as we know, it's not just gratefulness to Allah, but gratefulness to the creation of Allah as well. And there's of course, on the opposite side of that gratefulness, you know, a feeling of melancholy, right? A feeling of a bit of sadness. Because whenever you experience something amazing, and then you're not going to experience that again, there's a feeling of loss that we experience. And we should. Yeah, I know none of us are going to miss the fasting. I accept that, you know. But just the barakah of this month, right? The fact that we were drowning in God's special grace and special favors, this is something that we're going to miss tremendously. Coming to mosque, worshipping together as brothers and sisters, eating together, and all of these things where we were, every breath was a form of ibadat. These things are a loss, right? And this is why when you look at what our fourth Imam says when he bids farewell to this month, it's very beautiful. He says, فَنَحْنُ مُوَدِّيُهُ وِدَاءَ مَنْ عَزَّ فِرَاقُهُ عَلَيْنَا. He says, we bid farewell to this month as the one whose parting pains us. It pains us that the month of Ramadan is coming to an end. And I hope that we feel that pinch. And inshallah, if we do, then it will allow us to work towards enhancing what we gained in this month. When we look at our traditions, when we look at what Allah Azza wa Jal has told us about the month of Ramadan and what the Prophet and his family have described for us, the greatness of this month is beyond vocabulary. Right? And whenever Allah Azza wa Jal gives us these types of favors, there are two things that automatically should come into our minds and in our hearts. Number one, that how can we ensure that we maximize these benefits that Allah has allowed in this month? And so that was one of the goals that we had in this month, to just not be ordinary servants. You know, because even an ordinary servant in Ramadan gets you a great deal, you know. But how to do just a little bit extra, so that we can enhance the benefits that are available to us in this month. And I'm sure we did that, because with every gift of God, there is no limit to that gift. It's always dependent on how much we expand ourselves to receive more. But the second aspect is that whenever Allah Azza wa Jal gives us a gift, there is tremendous responsibility to that gift. And so a second portion of this blessings is for us to ask ourselves, how will we carry it forward? And when I look at the month of Ramadan, you know, these two points, I know we've touched upon it in different ways, but I want to try to maybe explain it slightly differently this time. When I look at the month of Ramadan, there are two takeaways that come right away. Number one, the month of Ramadan is the great revealer. right? And the second, the month of Ramadan, is the great trainer. And so both of these are very important. As far as the great revealer, you know, the fact is that the true nature of a human being is not revealed when things are routine and normal. Right? When we are functioning the way we normally do, we wake up, we go to work, we drink a cup of coffee, we go to work, we come back from work, we have a meal, we watch TV, we go to sleep. The nature of a human being is not told in those moments of regularity. But as soon as there is a bit of irregular scheduling that takes place, something we did not expect, something that changed our routine, that is when the true nature of a human being is identified. And in the month of Ramadan, Allah throws a curveball at us, you know. He says, don't eat, don't drink, yeah. Sleep less, worship more, recite more dua, go to mosque more often. And this entire change, especially the not eating and not drinking, is very powerful. Because what it does is it truly reveals our true nature. Yeah, we will, if we concentrated in this month, the hidden issues that we have become glaringly apparent to us. And they are hidden issues. Oftentimes we look at, you know, like a weed that grows out of the grass. We pull the weed out, but if we don't pull it out with the root, that weed will come back again. Right? And similarly with us, we look at these external problems and we try to mow the lawn and say, we'll fix this. But unless we pluck out with the roots, this problem is going to come back. And in the month of Ramadan, the root causes of our problems become apparent to us. Right? And so we see, for example, maybe anger is an issue that I have. Maybe frustration. Maybe for some of us, laziness is our issue. You know, in the month of Ramadan, what we want to do, we want to sleep. Right? And so whatever chance we get, we go to our bed and try to sleep. Well, that is identifying, even though in the month of Ramadan, that's a blessing, but that's identifying our true nature, that maybe we're just a bit lazy and we just need to work a little bit more. And so this great revelation or revealing from Allah is very powerful, right? Because oftentimes we are masked by regularity. And so we are unaware or unable to identify what our issues are. And so number one, I really hope that we have focused. And if we haven't focused now, because I'm telling you, if we can just pluck out one root, yeah, that is a problem in our behavior, you will find that life will become drastically better for us, right? And so that's what the month of Ramadan offers. It reveals our deficiencies. And I hope again that we focus on that. The second aspect of the month of Ramadan, as we said, is it's the great trainer, you know. In the month of Ramadan, we all put in a tremendous amount of effort in our own capacity. No one can judge each other. No one can say one did more, one did less, you know. You may say, oh, Fulan didn't read as much Quran. But they were volunteering every day. Yeah, they're carrying out the ethos of the Quran. We are just reading the Quran. Right? And there's a difference between that. Right? But the fact is that we all put in a tremendous effort in our own capacity and in our own way of God consciousness. We fasted. We prayed on time. We avoided that which is haram. We came to the house of God. We read the Quran more. But with what goal? Ask yourself, what goal? So that we become better servants for 1 month, that can't be the goal, right? And so there has to be carrying forward, right? And this is why the month of Ramadan is the great trainer. Whatever we do in the month of Ramadan, even those things that we don't realize what God intended, Allah is training us for something. These two main points, the great revealer and the great trainer. If we focus on them in this month, inshallah, and after, there will be tremendous change in our lives, and truly this day will become a day of Eid for each and every one of us. Wa akhiru da'wan, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Eid Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Eid Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Eid Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate, celebrate, let's celebrate.
Allah, Allah, thank you for this day.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
The limelight.
Tel Aviv is coming up against myriad obstacles, from the loss of Western public opinion to the nervousness of its key backers. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned, please. Middle East Eye wrote, for 75 years, the Western world was indifferent. But this war is forcing the Zionist regime's Western backers to see the full horrors of the crimes being committed in a campaign they described 5 months ago as just. Even a progressive critic of the Zionist regime like U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders said 5 months ago that the war against resistance group Hamas was just. The degree of brutality and glee shown by the Zionist regime troops as they go on their daily killing sprees, starving Gaza and then dropping leaflets in Arabic telling Palestinians to feed the needy, killing 400 people waiting for aid and then vowing to flood Gaza with aid, all of this is too much to sweep under the carpet when this war stops. A Rubicon has been crossed. With this war, the Zionist regime has entered the elite rank of pariah states. It is now the ugliest of the ugly. It's impossible to forgive. It cannot be justified, nor can it be put into context. The entire operation in Gaza is an atrocity. Liberal Zionism has become a contradiction in terms. It's too much of a straight. Acting like this, the Zionist regime has become not the home of a beleaguered people persecuted around the world for millennia, but the Fort Knox of Jewish supremacism, the natural heir to white supremacists. This is having a transformational effect on Jewish people worldwide, in whose name and common past these crimes are being committed. The short cri du coeur of Jonathan Glazer, the British director of the Zone of Interest, did not come out of the blue when he said during his Oscar acceptance speech, "We stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people." The same cry of "not in my name" is coming from the thousands of young Jews who are marching every weekend in London to stop the war in Gaza. Emily, a Jewish activist with the group Na'mud UK, recently said, "I think there has been a quiet reckoning in our community, and you can see this because the bloc keeps growing, the movement keeps growing, the constituency organizations keep getting bigger and bigger. I have never been so sure that I will see a free Palestine." Asked what she thought of her government's attempts to brand these marches as the work of extremists, she said, "I'm very tired of being told how to feel as a Jewish person by people who are not Jewish. I'm tired of being told to feel afraid when these marches are, by and large, peaceful. And people are so lovely to us and so thankful to us. It really shows the ignorance of Jewish opinion outside of their very small Zionist rabble. This is where real leadership is coming from. It's on the streets, not parliament. These are the lions. The political leaders are the donkeys, she said. The Zionist regime and its apologies are right to be scared of what a new generation of American and British Jews are telling them. For the last 8 decades, the child killer regime of Israel governed a consensus about its existence, identity, and purpose that was more powerful than all the arms, money, and Jewish migrants it received. The weaker this consensus becomes, the quicker the Zionist regime will lose its influence in the centers of Western powers. Already, the compulsive addiction of support for the Zionist regime is upending the West's own attempts to explain to itself that it is a moral force, a force for good in the world. Under the British government's latest definition of extremism, it is right to support a government that flouts the Genocide Convention, starves a population under occupation, and kills unarmed mothers and children at will, but extremists to protest against that on the streets of London. This is a patent absurdity. It is left to the likes of South Africa to show Britain the way. It is now going to prosecute its citizens who return after fighting for the Zionist regime's army. It will take time to erode, but after what has happened in Gaza, the future will surely not guarantee the hold the Zionist regime has over every major Western political party. It will not be able to dictate the definition of anti-Semitism, nor will it guarantee the funds that aspiring Western politicians need. Today, every Tory and Labour politician with ambitions for the top job must, almost by definition, be a friend of Israel, a club that maintains a stronghold on each parliamentary party. That might not be true for the next generation of politicians. Jewish academic opposition to the fabricated regime of Israel is strong and vocal. It cannot accurately be called fringe. The child killer regime of Israel is now starting to lose the global Jewish voice. Netanyahu's weakness is having a profound effect on the Western political elites who supported and armed the Zionist regime. U.S. President Joe Biden's rift with Netanyahu is now open and in the public eye. The U.S. leader who said so loudly that Israel had every right to defend itself 5 months ago now says Israel cannot kill another 30,000 Palestinians in the name of self-defense. We don't believe Biden has had some dramatic change of heart or that the scales have fallen from his eyes. U.S. government officials are fully informed about what is happening on the ground in Gaza at every stage of his operation. They knew, for instance, that resistance groups were not diverting aid convoys or stealing food and said so. If Biden is confronting the consequences of having given the Zionist regime the brightest of green lights to invade Gaza after the October 7th events, those consequences are primarily electoral. Biden's team has been shocked by the extent of uncommitted vote. Hundreds of thousands of voters across the U.S. voted for no candidate in the Democratic primaries on Super Tuesday, as the movement urging voters to vote uncommitted gathers pace in protest against Biden's handling of the war in Gaza. This could cost him in the general election in November. Biden's Ramadan greetings were especially warm this year, but Arab Americans don't want hugs. They want a change of policy, and Biden still only supports a temporary ceasefire, not a permanent one. He has not threatened to stop the supply of weapons to Israel. Nevertheless, there has been a deliberate shift in tone. The Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, the highest-ranking Jewish official in the U.S., was full-throated in his support for the Zionist regime after the October 7th events. Recently, he warned the Zionist regime it cannot survive if it becomes a global pariah. Schumer accused Netanyahu of putting political survival above national interest and said he had been too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza, which is pushing support for the Zionist regime worldwide to historic lows. Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah, he said. The loss of public opinion in the West, the continuing genocide case at the International Court of Justice, the erosion of Jewish consensus, and the nervousness of the Zionist regime's backers, all of these elements point to a strategic defeat for the child killer regime of Israel. Even if the war stops now, the price the Israeli regime has paid for the reoccupation of Gaza will be higher than it could have possibly calculated 5 months ago, but it has yet to realize this. It will.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor, Israel. Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the first sermon delivered on April 22, 2023 by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, at the Eid al-Fitr prayer in Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullah alayhi, Musalla in Tehran. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. All praise is due to God, the Lord of the worlds. Praise be to Allah, who created the heavens and the earth, and made darkness and light. Yet those who reject faith hold others as equal with their Lord. The Quran, chapter 6, verse number 1. We praise you, seek your help, beseech you, seek your forgiveness, and send peace and greetings upon your beloved, the master of your creation, Abul Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad, and upon his pure, immaculate, infallible household, the chosen guides, especially the remnant of God on earth. And peace be upon the imams of the Muslims, those who protect the oppressed and guide the faithful. I congratulate all faithful Muslim brothers all over the world and the great nation of Iran and you who pray on the blessed occasion of Eid al-Fitr.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
I congratulate you on spending a fruitful month of Ramadan full of divine generosity this year. The month of Ramadan this year was a very delightful and lively Ramadan. In this month, there was prayer, supplication, and tawassul, intercession, especially on the blessed nights of Qadr. Keeping all-night soul-stirring vigils by the youths and the warm tears that trickled out of the blessed eyes of our pure young people were truly outstanding. Meetings and gatherings of teaching and learning spiritual lessons, Quran meetings and recitations of the Quran in all parts of the country were, thank God, more outstanding than ever before during this year. The presence of people in martyrs, flower gardens, martyr ceremonies, in gatherings, in religious groups, and in mosques was a noticeable presence. The faithful help that people provided in this month, helping orphans, the needy, and the poor, I mean one of the most important duties in the month of Ramadan is this public presence and being by the side of the underprivileged and the poor.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. I wanna thank you for bringing me home.
Iranian Radio Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.